praise him till I'm gone. I'm gone, praise him till I'm gone.
Look, I have a little Chance the Rapper. Chance the Rapper.
The blessings come down.
There he is.
When the praises go
We got to make this podcast. Is it not hip enough that we're doing a podcast? We got to make the podcast itself hipper so the youngins will listen to it. Because I'm only 31, and that's too old.
It is now. Who are you? Who are you? Introduce yourself.
Let's bring it back. It's been over a month. I'm Doug Fireball Turnbull.
Smiling, Mark McKay.
This is the Atlanta Traffic Podcast here. We just wanted to – we haven't had any extra music. The only extra audio we've had in this podcast since we began it over a year ago – has been an interview. So I thought, well, we can illegally play. Well, I don't know.
You're now going to bring it each time.
So. Yeah, there you go. Who knows if it's legal or not? No one's listening. So, hey, listen, here's the deal. We got a lot to catch you up on here. It is summer. It's a time where a lot of people let their guard down. And Smile of Mark, you and I both have had not the privilege at all, but unfortunately, I'd say the tragedy of flying over or covering from the traffic center some horrible, horrible wrecks on the roads here. And I think there's a sense of guard that people let down when they go out and it's summer and they think, okay, well, there's not going to be that much traffic. Well, especially in the afternoon, it's wrong.
Right.
And then there's still the same dangers out there. And you have the pop-up storms, more rain. I mean, let's go over a little bit some of these big wrecks we've seen. So I guess we could rewind all the way back to even before summer. In April it was when we had the Camp Creek Parkway crash where four teens died, a situation where you put a lot of teens in one car, it's more distractions. You had the Holka Bridge situation, Holka Bridge over there just west of 400, where two East Cobb teens got killed in a wreck, too. And that was the bus driver they ran into was charged with it, but there were things they could have done to have been safer. And then, Smiling, we're doing this on a Friday, so a day ago, we had the Camp Creek crash on the bus.
And we both were on duty then. I was in the traffic center along with Alex Williams and Veronica Harrell, and you were in the air. Let's break this one out specifically, because this does have to do with summer travels and travels by the part of folks who don't live in our Metro Atlanta community, but coming to the big airport to go, and this specific group was headed from a church in Huntsville, Alabama, a youth group. They're heading to a mission trip in Africa, and they were passing through Atlanta, and tragically, that trip ended with death to one of their members on Camp Creek Parkway in that terrible rollover crash. The impact it made on us in the traffic center was the fact that Camp Creek was shut down, and the impact on me, it didn't get until I saw the helicopter pictures that were turned on by you and our colleague Jason Durden.
Yeah, Jason got there first. And
I first thought it was a shuttle bus that had to, that shuttles people around Hartsfield or to the car rental places, and then when we started getting the information. How did that affect you personally? Because you've done and continue to do work around the world with kids and mission work. That had to really hit hard.
It certainly has. When I was in the – so first off, what Jason Durden got there first, and you were actually – I'm not in the helicopter the entire shift. We have a real specific time we fly. So you were actually relaying to me what you were seeing from his picture, and then I was saying it on WSB radio, or you were saying it on WSB. And then as soon as we took off, we were only up for a little while, and we decided, well, we need to go there also just because it was what we were going wall-to-wall with, pretty much nonstop with radio coverage. So when we got over there, I mean, I remember saying specifically to our photographer in the helicopter, Brett Barnhill, and our pilot, Bob Howdy, that's his Catholic name, I said, guys, I mean, I went on mission trips in a church bus. It was 11th and 12th graders too. And when I think back to 11th and 12th grade specifically, when you're getting a little more freedom and you're getting to drive and hang out more, it is one of the most carefree times of your life. Mm-hmm. And to me, I still think, as I love my life right now, and I wouldn't change a thing for it. And I'm happier now than I've ever been. But there is still something so carefree and so nostalgic and great about being with my friends in youth group and going on mission trips and going on church trips in general. And to see these kids and adults too, that I think it was 37, it was several dozen, all of them got hurt, and one of them died. And we should be moved by every death, but that one was something I felt like, well, that could have happened to me.
And the strength of this young lady's parents, the young person that passed away, the next morning, Channel 2 covers it and has an interview, or the parents were in front of the cameras the night of their daughter's passing,
yes.
And the strength that they showed coming over from Alabama, catching up with the group, and being able to provide to us an insight on her life and what she did. Let's talk about the actual it's a bus. Everyone's in there. There's crowded with luggage. You know, seat belts. Those are rare in those, or there are no. more that are being built with them now, huh?
I actually did a few weeks ago in that Gridlock Guy column. I did a thing about the 10-year anniversary of the Bluffton University crash, which that was the bus, for those that don't remember, that went off of the Northside Drive overpass and flipped onto 75. Northside Drive in the middle of morning rush hour. Just the traffic impact alone was nauseating. But then when you really realize what's going on, and in the aftermath of that, some parents of the kids have been campaigning Congress to strengthen the laws on that, but they haven't gone far enough. And if I remember correctly, and I don't have it in front of me, but I don't think they've been able to make it mandatory for buses just yet, but that's a goal.
Right.
So this bus doesn't just flip on its side like the Bluffton bus did. It actually, and I don't know how it did this, but it went all the way, pirouetted, and landed on its roof and crushed the roof in.
And landed another vehicle that was going the other direction.
Yeah, and so if you don't have seatbelts on, you're hitting the roof, or supposedly, right? You're getting turned out of your seat, and then the roof is collapsing to some extent. And the other vehicle evolved, Smiley. You said it was a van?
Yes.
You see, I was over it, and you have a better memory than I do about it. So,
the other vehicle was a sedan. It was.
I was thinking, where's the van?
But it was a car.
But this church bus, and I don't think it was like a full-blown charter bus, but it was a bus. And it landed on top of that other car. And I think I've just read this week that the driver of that vehicle, the other vehicle, is getting charged.
Right.
And what I saw from the wreck was that the church bus went across the median. And after the two had made contact, and then it flipped and landed, they kind of got hooked together. And I just got to say, folks, when you're driving your big trucks, buses, it doesn't matter if they're going too slow or doing something that ticks you off. They need more room to move. Most of the time that you're passing one of those vehicles, you are in their blind spot. Most of the time you are. And if you think you're going to pull out, some macho move on them because they're going 65 and you want to go 75. And Camp Creek Parkway is a really dangerous stretch of road just because you could travel high speeds, but you could also cross the median.
Right.
Kind of like 316 in some areas. And that's going to be the next wreck we talk about. You just need to be careful. Just be considerate and think, what is Murphy's Law can happen? Because we're seeing Murphy's Law happen again and again.
And back to the issue of seatbelts in vehicles. I mean, if you're the driver, and I'm the driver of vehicles 90-something percent of the time, a passenger, very, very low percentages. But if I'm out of town and I'm in an Uber, if I'm in a taxi cab now, the Chicago trip I took, I was in the backseat of a taxi, but I put that seatbelt on. Though I was the backseat passenger and another driver, sometimes we let our guard down, if we're staying on that theme, of being riding with someone else, and especially if you're having someone drive you, they're up front, you and your passenger in the back, and you may not, you're in the back of a limo. One of the 60 Minutes, longtime 60 Minutes correspondents passed away last year, who was the back in a New York limo.
Oh,
he was
forgot
not
about
seatbelted
that.
In, and they got into a crash, and he was killed. And it makes you think that just because you're driving, that's the automatic thing. Get in the car, put the seatbelt on, crank up the vehicle, and go. You sometimes don't think about it if you're in the back seat and you're a passenger in an Uber or Lyft or a taxi cab.
You don't. And here's the way, but you should. And I don't get it, because any place that there's a seatbelt, I'm putting it on.
Right.
To me, that's like when not wearing it is just as dumb as smoking. And no, I'm not trying to judge, but when you actually get into the habit of habitual smoking when you're young, I'm like, what? These days, if you're like 30 and doing that, I'm like, where were you during health class? Like, what? Right. And it's the same thing with seatbelts. I'm just like, it's right there. It's automatic. What does not wearing your seatbelt give you the freedom to do? Roll around with your girlfriend in the back seat. I mean, really? Like, what freedom does that give you?
Then again, then we see these crashes that involve younger kids, and sometimes the case is they aren't wearing seatbelts. The other impactful crash recently that was made was, and you were flying over, it was the 316 crash that involved multiple vehicles, including a big rig and another vehicle that went up and under. The big rig caught fire and killed the occupant of that vehicle.
And it wasn't just those two cars. It was about a 7 or 8 car crash.
And a van that looked like it was cut in half.
This wreck, and I don't know the particulars of who caused what, and I think they're probably still investigating that, but the response to it looked very similar to like the 285 Peachtree Industrial plane crash, okay?
Right.
Because they had a mobile command unit, they were treating it almost like a disaster, and that just puts a different, we're so used to covering crash, injury crash, crash investigation, vehicle fire, we're so used to just covering these things like little popcorn kind of deals, even if they're, and I don't mean to say that in haste. I mean, they're very impactful to the people they hurt. But they covered this like a disaster almost. And so, yeah, what happened was is after this – so this wreck happened. I think what's kind of causing it is these it used to be stoplights, and now they're exits at Collins Hill and Highway 20. And it's sort of as traffic trooper Scott from Decula described to me on Twitter. He also wrote to me an email as well. It's becoming like the wild, wild west in that interchange because it is a race to see who could get in the correct lane and get in front of whom by the next traffic light at High Hope Road.
Hmm.
And so what's happening there is this is a real, it's sort of like you're coming up to an exit. People are jostling around and switching lanes. And when you're doing that around, again, tractor trailers, they need more time to negotiate. They need more time. And sometimes they're the aggressors, of course, but it caused a disaster. It's like watching the big one at Talladega or Daytona in NASCAR. I mean, it was bad.
I was not on duty that day, but the first thing I thought of was weather. And weather did not appear to be a factor
it wasn't.
What this job does, though, and you feel it too, it's when you get in conversation with people that don't do what we do. I mean, we're not on the first line of first responders who actually respond to these wrecks and actually have to be in there and treat victims or deal with the aftermath of victims who do not make it through. But this job does make you realize how dangerous the roads are, or just that, you know, you gotta have to live life to the fullest and, you know, not to get too deep, but we see a lot of bad things from our perch in the air almost every day that most people don't see, and we have to relate them. And so live your life, but be smart as well. How about that?
I think that's a great thing. And so be on guard during the summer. One fact we need to throw out there. I mean, y'all have heard me talking about AAA a little bit on the air now. They actually sponsor my Gridlock Guy column that when it appears on WSUradio.com. So you may have seen the Facebook posts and all that. But AAA releases a study every year that shows that the 100 days between Memorial Day and roughly Labor Day, I think it's a little further than that, but those 100 days are the deadliest specifically for teen drivers. And intuitively, that makes sense. Well, they're not in school from 7 to 3 or from 8 to 4 or whatever, so they're going to be more out on the road. They're carefree. But that's just something else to take in, you know, to mix in with whatever as well. You've also got a higher percentage of inexperienced drivers out on the roads for longer periods of time. A lot of them are just getting their licenses for the first time because now they have time during the day to do that.
Right.
Steve Winslow keeps telling me about Andrew Winslow, his 18-year-old son who's just recently gotten his license, and he scares the heck out of him.
Yeah.
You know, we have got to be more vigilant as drivers.
Veronica Harrell just mentioned to me about her
about Jazzy.
Daughter. Yeah, getting so they a lot of nervous parents, including we can relate. We as traffic team members can relate to you as you send your kids out and make sure you preach to them how safe they have to be behind the wheel.
Watch Andrew Jazzy listen to this. We'll have that hip song at the beginning of it. Okay, so we want to transition to something else. We've seen some catastrophic wrecks of late and more frequency on the Atlanta roads, but the biggest Atlanta catastrophe on the roads this year was the I-85 bridge, and we haven't gone on and done a podcast since it reopened. Smiley Mark, you were up the first morning drive, I think you were, the first morning drive that it was open. And we each followed it as in the process of reopening. What have you seen, especially in the mornings where people have that deadline, I have to get to work at this time.
Yeah.
What have you seen with the traffic flow?
Well, I think all the neighbors and everybody that was working between Midtown, Buckhead, east out, way out to Decatur, and west to west Midtown, Atlanta, felt the pain inside the perimeter, let alone the folks who... I remember hearing now it's like, oh, now 85's back to its usual self, you know, coming in from Gwinnett County.
Oh, yeah.
And not that big backup. From the images of that morning at 5:10 when we arrived over the scene of the bridge still smoking from the night before to the complete rebuild. Well, then the next transition, what hit me hard was when Commissioner Russell McMurray announced that not only will 85 northbound have to be shut down, southbound, and I was without words when I heard that. And then how long will it be?
That's
will
this one
be
of those where you summer? Remember where you're sitting.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I was sitting at my breakfast table at home going, oh, no.
Yeah, yeah, we both had that feeling, and I expressed that much on air and social about that. But then to think about, oh, this is going to go all summer. I mean, how long did it take for them to replace the Bay Bridge after the earthquake in the 80s? You know, the span of roadways that go crashing down. But the incentives, the contractor, everybody was on the right page. And to get this thing built out was a hallelujah right before Memorial Day weekend. Traffic flow is back to normal in that area. We're 85, 400, both crowds in southbound heading toward Midtown, and northbound 85, 400 heading toward Buckhead. So that's back to normal. What really is back to normal are the surface streets and the neighborhoods that surround I-85 and Georgia 400.
Yeah, and the good normal. So the good normal extends there. The good normal also reverberates out to 285, which had about a 30% increase in volume overall, especially, I think, on the DeKalb County east side perimeter and then the north side outer loop heading 285 west over to 75. Those just seemed especially bad during this thing. And the Braves' opening of SunTrust Park coincided with the first day after the bridge collapsed. It collapsed on March 30th. March 31st was that New York Yankees exhibition game at SunTrust. And then the Braves' home opener was April the 14th. These dates, I mean, whatever. We remember that. But then it reopened like May the 14th. So the Braves only had like a month and a half overlap with this. And I was expecting a lot worse. I was. I mean, it still took me a long time when I left 285 for Peachtree Industrial after my traffic shift and went west over to Powers Ferry to get to my parking. It still took like 30 minutes, but I was expecting it to be a lot worse. And it certainly was a lot better when I went last Thursday with the bridge now being open.
The one I've yet to go, and as of this airing, I'll be going to the first game against the Marlins tonight on a Friday. So I'll get that whole, we've talked about it. We attended the press conferences. I'll now feel what it's like to buy your parking in advance, be directed to parking, figure out how to get in and out of there. The last Friday in particular, or the Friday that they hosted the Mets, that I think that put pressure on. I had a friend who lives in that area and was trying to get to where I was in Buckhead and saying it is extraordinarily heavy. And then I thought about it. Yep, the Braves and Mets. It depends on the team that comes in. A lesser team that's not going to have the draw may not put that big volume. But a Friday afternoon with the Mets, that's where we saw a big push,
Weird because last Thursday, for some reason, which I think was also the Mets series. I think they did Thursday, Friday, and a doubleheader Saturday. Or maybe it was Friday, doubleheader Saturday, and Sunday. They played four games against the Mets. And we went Thursday night. So the Cobb Parkway was all torn to hell. Like, I mean, it was just terrible. And we were getting tweets and stuff. What's going on? And we flew over and we were looking at the traffic lights. We couldn't figure out why Cobb Parkway North was so awful from roughly Cumberland up to Windy Ridge. And it was before the Braves traffic control was even in place. And so I'm wondering if there was people just arriving at the battery early before things really, I'm not sure.
Which the Braves have encouraged everybody to do.
Yeah, but then Friday it seemed kind of normal-ish to us, maybe a little worse than normal. And then Saturday, they had a sellout because they had the concert. That was Jake Owen or whoever. They had the country concert afterwards. Right. And it was a doubleheader. So I still think, look, you're going to have more traffic when you have bigger marquee games, but I still kind of feel like it's a success.
Yeah.
I don't feel, it's certainly not a failure so far anyway.
Well, we can revisit this and then, I would like to get, if we're able to get on the ground and talk to the business owners and the folks who live in that area in terms of how they're dealing with it on a regular basis. Turner Field it was a surrounding in the neighborhood, but a lot of the traffic was, directly off the connector or all through downtown streets. Now you're putting it in an area that's, basically a entertainment and an office environment up there. And there are apartment complexes and condo complexes that surround there, but the direct impact on people who live there may not be as great as we expected. But I'd like to hear, let's dig deeper into that and find out how folks who have to get in there and out of there every day, how they're faring during games. But, the impact on 285, as well as I do, the flow that we found in afternoons, Fridays are bad. It seems like Thursdays are worse.
Yeah, it really seems like that's the case because people take off on Fridays.
Right.
Hey, one thing I'm missing, though. Hold on.
Mid-podcast music.
I got the $1 water. Oh, I got the ice cold water. Yeah.
Outside
I got the
field.
$1 water.
That
Listen,
was man,
live music.
Okay. I love that. I just want to say I love that. So number one, I love that because he is rapping about his ice water sales while we're making long walks to the parking lot. He's a Turner Field vendor. There is nothing like that out. The only part of that exists at SunTrust Park is that it indeed is a long walk to the parking lot.
Go.
Okay,
yeah.
Because it is. And so put on your walking shoes. I know there's shuttles and things. I'll be honest, folks, it is not intuitive. If you're just driving up to the game, even if you bought your parking to know where to catch a shuttle, to me, it is when you're getting out of the game. They
right.
line up. But getting from the parking lot to the stadium is a challenge, and it's best to go early and maybe enjoy the battery and all of that. But as a fan experience, it's good. It's new. It's great, but it's confusing. Okay. I really think it to me. So
we'll just all have to get used to it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So, Smilin, one thing that you see every morning, and I wrote about in the Gridlock Guy recently, is the 400 South right flex lane work. What's that been doing to traffic? And I'm sure, are people getting pantsed a little bit because they think, oh, it's summer light, and then they see this?
There you go. And, you know, we've been following these delays, which you're used to those delays that come out of coming around Highway 20, then it opens up, and it used to be a pretty smooth flow, albeit heavy, between Alpharetta, Roswell, Sandy Springs, with the main slowing that we've been following anywhere south of Holkenbridge Road. Now it's pretty definite, and it's each morning. Funny how you lose one lane, even a flex lane can really
crunch
things
up. A lane that they didn't
up.
Used to have.
That's right. And it crunches things up until the point that they have the barrels out. When we flew over it this morning, they removed the barrels right before the North Springs MARTA station, and then magically it opened up from Abernathy southbound toward 285. But, yeah, the crunch is going to be there until they finish that project, which, as you investigated and heard from the DOT, involves what?
Yeah, so I originally thought that they were going ahead and clearing the right-of-way and clearing the land to build managed lanes. And I've said that on this podcast and on WSB Radio before, that it's just, you know, because we're told that eventually within the next 10 years there will be managed toll express lanes that border Georgia 400. However, the trees that are being cleared right now are actually being cleared, according to DOT's Jill Goldberg, sorry, I was blanking there for a second, is they're just, it's to build the collector-distributor ramp. So, and what this whole 400-285 project, again, to rehash it, what it is it's going to be, what CD ramps are, is they take traffic that is trying to exit and get it committed to that exit early, so the through lanes of traffic are reserved for the people that are going all the way up, let's say, to Alpharetta. And so if you're 400 North and you have to go up to Northridge or Abernathy, you're going to have to make that decision earlier so they don't have all the weaving and cause the extra delays. So that's what the trees are being cleared for, is to build the collector-distributor ramps that will run from the Spalding Drive overpass down past 285, and then, of course, they'll build them along 285 as well. The difference, so and so I got emails after this call, and, well, how long is this going to last? The project lasts until 2019.
Yeah.
I assure you that during morning drive when school's back in, they're not blocking the right flex lane every morning. It's just not. I mean, they're not. That I'm sure the reason they're doing it, did it happen back on May the 15th?
No.
They waited until right after Memorial Day. So that's kind of what I think the timeline in here is. Let's see how much of this crap we can clear out of here until school gets back in, and then work somewhere else. They're going to have to do it on 285 also, Smile. I know I'm babbling here, but they're going to have to do it on 285, but they don't have flex lanes on 285.
Right.
So they could block the shoulder. That will still cause a delay, but it won't be as much,
right.
And they have to do it during daylight hours. They can't operate and knock down trees in the middle of the night for a number of reasons, including safety.
I think it was enlightening, maybe now that people are hearing it for the first time, you saying it or reading the column or hearing about it in other ways, that the impact that 285-400 going all the way up 400 all the way into Roswell, you know, touching Roswell, north of Sandy Springs, that all is part of that project, and that shows how big that project is.
Yeah,
in both numbers, dollars, and area.
Yeah, and so it really is. So it's called the Transform 285-400 for a reason. That's what they always brand it as. And it really is going to transform the interchange. And for the naysayers that say, look, they should just be building rail, and they MARTA wants to expand as well, but you can't not build onto the roads. You can't, because a bajillion of us still use them. And this is also not going to alleviate all the traffic. We're already way behind the curve. This is making us less behind the curve.
Right.
Because if you leave it like it is now, anybody that drives through, lives in, dines in, whatever in that perimeter, Dunwoody, Sandy Springs area, knows how crazy it is and knows how much stuff there is to do. I don't live there. I go there quite a bit.
Right.
You got to add capacity to it or something's going to give.
Yeah.
So there you go. Babble, babble, babble. But anything else to cover, Smile? Anything cool or interesting you've flown over?
Oh, every morning's cool, you know, with the sunrise. And if folks don't follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or you'll get some pretty good sunsets once we get into the fall.
I've always thought
the afternoons were incredible with when we clear out the humidity and the haze and some of those brilliant sunsets. But to get up early and to see what we see when we take off is amazing. Those quarries still interest me too, by the way. A lot of people don't know there's a big quarry off of 85 and Indian Trail. Whenever I post that,
there's
a big hole down there. You would never know if you're driving.
You got to go hang out in a quarry the other day.
I did. It was supposed to be a quarry, and it was supposed to be a quarry. It was supposed to be a concert in a quarry. Unfortunately, the weather did not cooperate, and that knocked out some fundraising for a couple of schools up in Forsyth and in Gwinnett counties. But yeah, Dennis DeYoung was supposed to play. He did. He put on a perfect sound check. Unfortunately, the rain scrubbed the whole program, and fortunately, they had concert insurance on it. But going to be I was going to host that, and unfortunately, the weather, that was the beginning of the summer rain season as we've seen it. But you can't really have a bunch of people exposed in a quarry when a thunder shower is overhead, so they had to cancel that show.
Well, just a bunch of people you don't like. So thanks for letting me make a quarry about your quarry experience.
Nice.
And that was the same day, by the way, as the Captain Herd Memorial Ride, if I'm not mistaken, May the 20th. So that benefited Toys for Tots. We've had it. This is the fourth annual, and we had a moderate show in there. I'm not going to lie and say that it was covered over with people. We didn't have a festival or anything attached to it, but we raised some good money for Toys for Tots. I think December 9th is the day, or whatever Saturday is closest to December 9th, for our big drive at the end of the year, the Toys for Tots drive that we have at Fred's Barbecue House in Lithia Springs. And yes.
And we will also be, I'm sure, remembering then Rhubarb. We lost Rhubarb Jones since last we did a podcast,
yes,
too.
Yes, we did. Oh, my gosh.
He was what a great supporter of Captain Herb, and always out there with us on that event, always on the air, an Atlanta radio legend. And just another one of those shocking days that when friends within the industry and coworkers and such get in touch with us with news like that, it just shows that, again, as I said at the beginning, you know, live your life, be smart, but realize each and every day is a blessing.
And you remember what day Rhubarb died?
Captain Herb's birthday.
Captain Herb's birthday, yes. April 2nd. I just remembered that right now. Yeah, Sarah and I were down in Miami and started seeing the news, and I was going, you got to be kidding.
Yeah, we can't remember. We can't. It's one of those you can't believe what you're seeing when you get a text like that. So we want you to come out, and we'll get all that out there in terms of the planning of it begins now. The planning begins in the summer as we start to lead up toward the big event in December.
If there are any listeners far and wide that like playing disc golf, we haven't set a date yet, but Smiling, you and Ashley and I are planning with our Traffic Trooper disc golf driver a possible fundraiser involving disc golf for Toys for Tots, right?
We'll get the details.
Lunch right after this to go.
I'll need to know specifics. I only touched on that during my CNN Sports days. That was just coming on as I was leaving. some friends. Friends and colleagues in the office were going out to one of the local courses to play it.
And finally tonight, leave you with the Bolivian disc golf.
It was CNN International World Sport. I mean, we were doing cricket, rugby, soccer, and by the way, Formula One. But you know,
Formula One.
You're a fan of that. You're a fan of all kinds of racing.
Hey, NASCAR number one, but definitely Formula One too. And I'm trying to think of any stone we left unturned. Here's one for somebody that, although I don't consider them a colleague, somebody that was in the business and was well known in Atlanta for a long time. Bruce Arian found out that Channel 11 long time. He was the Jason Durden of Channel 11, except he actually flew the daggum thing. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how he flew a helicopter, but Bruce Arian was someone, when I was little, I idolized Captain Herb on the radio, and I watched all the news channels back then, and Bruce Arian was on Channel 11, and he was supposed to even make an appearance in my elementary school, Sagamore Hills, one time, and it got canceled for some reason. And he passed away of cancer, 71 years old, I think, yesterday.
And that was Scott Slade's recollection when I basically broke, you know, let's pull the veil back here. I sent Scott an email after seeing it before taking off in the Skycopter and say, if you want to talk about it. Boy, did he not really come right out, you know, 10 seconds later, but he recounted how good Bruce was with kids and the impact.
He was.
Again, in the same vein of a Captain Herb, in the same vein of a Keith Callen, in the same vein of a Rhubarb Jones, and those of us that continue on, we hope that we can only honor their legacies by, you know, making a difference with the kids and making a difference with adults here in our community. I mean, public service, that was one of the big things. Craig Ashwood, one of the radio personalities here at Star 94, is also on Facebook. So that was the day Bruce made the impact, along with Herb and such, when we didn't have 9 million cable channels or we didn't have all these entries. When these guys were the legends and the giants. And by the way, when Herb went into a room, he owned the room. When Bruce went to a school, So when we go, and I love doing it. You do it, Doug. I do it. Members of the traffic team do it. We see the joy that kids, when we tell them and we show them, we don't necessarily can't fly the helicopter to their school each and every time, but I can take an iPad now and I can show them my routine and they are fixed to that iPad as I'm standing there in front of the class telling them what I do each day. And to get that's giving back. That's what I give back. I feel that I get back when we're doing those type of events.
Yeah. I mean, we like to think we're giving back, but we get a lot back from it too.
That's what I meant, it really is.
It's so great, and I'm passionate about this job, and I know you are too, Smiling. And when things I'm passionate about, I like to share it. And I mean, I'm sure we have a traffic meeting where you and I sit there and talk about traffic. I mean, I get all, we're sitting there doing a traffic podcast, for God's sakes, okay? So when we get to share that with somebody else, and somebody who just thinks radio's cool or broadcasting is cool, or even if they don't think it's cool, you try to make them think it's cool. Because guess what? That's the future that's listening to this stuff and taking in this information. And I think there are a lot of people that grow up, even in my own household, in my own family, there are people that don't realize sometimes the importance of local news news, weather, traffic, we'll say, and information, because that hits you more than just talking about the same story over and over on cable news, you know? So if anybody out there listening, well, I guess we can leave with this, Smiling, because you got to go plan this disc golf lunch here in a second. But if anybody out there has a community event that they would like WSB Radio to assist you with, whether it's make an appearance or get the word out or just share something on social media, we would love to be a part of it as best as we can, as much as we can be available. So send us an email. You could send us an email, tweet, whatever, Doug.Turnbull, T-U-R-N-B-U-L-L @coxinc.com, Mark.McKay, coxinc.com, any of us, anybody that you can figure out how to spell our first dot last name at coxinc.com, and that's our parent company. We'd love to be able to help you out. And by the way, speaking of a benefit event, someone I know that I used to DJ trivia for in Tucker, their church, Lawrenceville Road United Methodist Church, is having a benefit concert Sunday night, June the 18th, for those that are listening before then, Sunday night, June the 18th, to benefit Mount Zion Baptist Church Youth Group, the group that crashed the bus there. So
good.
So check that out. It's in Tucker, Lawrenceville Highway, just inside 285.
There we go.
Yeah. Smile. Have a good weekend, sir.
You too, Doug. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
We aren't usually seen together in the same place. It's always nice.
People can ask questions.
People,
what are they doing?
Well, we don't usually see each other in the same place, and it's kind of funny. You guys are colleagues, and you work together. Yeah, we work together, but we're rarely in the same place. It's
weird. It's tweets and emails and talking on the two-way in the air. Yeah, in the air too. You know that whole radio thing. So y'all, thanks for listening, for putting up with our absence there. We've been busy and passing like two ships in the night, so we appreciate that, and please, let's keep the bridges up. Okay.
Yes.
Be safe.
Peace.
Hey there, did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.